question, and I think the Gospel of John means for us to hear it this way. He means for that to hang over the air this morning in church so you can understand and ask your own self, what is it that you seek? You see, in this book of John, as Jesus is walking and he's talking, Jesus always speaks in a metaphor, and we understand it literally. Jesus speaks in such a depth, they only understand it on the surface. When Jesus tells Nicodemus that you must be born again, it piques Nicodemus' mind, and he's trying to figure out, how can I be born again? Must I go back into my mother's womb to be born again? Jesus said to the woman at the well that her living water, that he can give her living water springing up to eternal life, and she'll never be thirsty. And she looks at him like, where are you going to get that water? You don't even have a bucket, and this well is deep. When Jesus asks John's disciples, what are you looking for? He's asking them a deep question, and he's asking it in a context that they don't understand. And they just began to follow him. And they ask him a question, where are you staying? They never answered the question, what do you want? They asked the question, where are you staying? Jesus, being intelligent, understood that they were looking for a teacher. So they went with him. And the scripture has that they stayed a day with him. So from approximately 10 o'clock of one morning to 10 o'clock of the next morning, he sat and he taught them what they needed to know. Amen? Many times, we have expectations, and when we have a lot of expectations, it leads to disappointments. I believe that these two men had expectations of what they would hear from Jesus, but they were not disappointed. Amen? Many times, our expectations lead us to do things that we don't really want to do. But I say today that Jesus will never disappoint you. He will fulfill your expectations. The Lord never ceases, and that's always the case. If we are truly seeking the Lord for what he is and not just what he does, if we seek him for what he is and not what he does, he will never, ever disappoint you. So when you walk out of here disappointed, what did you come in here for? You came in for your own stuff. You didn't come to seek Jesus. If you come to church this morning and you wanted to be entertained, you're going to leave disappointed. If you came in here expecting to feel good and to be coddled, you're going to be disappointed. If you came in here expecting to have all of your needs met, have your self-esteem boosted, you're going to leave here disappointed. If you came in here this morning expecting to seek Jesus, you're going to leave here changed. You're going to leave here changed, just like the five men I'm going to talk about in this passage. Amen? Each one of these are in four encounters, but they're marked by one thing. Each encounter was marked by their expectations or who they thought Jesus was. So many times we come into this house of worship and our expectations are low. We come in here with a low expectation. You know, I know that there's some teachers, there's some people that are in the medical field. I know that a teacher, if you have low expectations for your students, you're going to get low marks. You're going to get exactly what you expect. If you came into church this morning having a low expectation of what you're going to receive, you're going to get exactly that. Because your body, your mind, and your spirit is not involved. Any situation you're involved in that has you have a low expectation, you're going to get a low result. If you're in your marriage and you have low expectations for your marriage, it's going to be exactly what you want. If you have low expectations for your children, they're going to give you exactly what you expect. Amen? So many times we enter into prayer and our expectations are low. You tell somebody, come pray with me, and that person have low expectations of your deliverance or healing. Now, the Bible says where two are together, or they gather together. Listen, if I'm going 100% and you're going 50 together, we only got 75% going of what we are expecting. If your level of prayer is low, your expectations are low, you're going to get exactly what you expected. Many times we enter into our time with the Word of God, our expectations are low. You can have people who have that war room and come out of there free and see results. And you can see people who just go through the motions. And they're so glad to tell you, oh, I pray every day at 12 o'clock. But your expectations are low. You're just doing it. It's a ritual. It's something that you can say, I pray at 12 o'clock every day. I don't know why these things are happening to me. Because the enemy knows you don't have full power. You didn't put your pedal to the metal. These five men had extremely high expectations for their encounter with Jesus. But you know what? Their expectations, even though it was high for them, it was low for Jesus. Because according to Ephesians 3 and 20, it says Jesus is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or even think. I got to say that again because I don't really think that you know what I'm saying. It says he is able to do exceedingly, exceedingly, abundantly. Below? Above all that we can even think. We look at some people and we say, oh, they got some big ideas. But as big as those ideas are, they're not bigger than the Lord's. They're not bigger than what he can do, because we can have big things, but God has great things. When you came in here, did you expect great things this morning? You see, I'm expecting great things. I'm putting it into the atmosphere that I am expecting great things. I'm expecting somebody to be healed, delivered, and restored today. I'm expecting great things today. You don't want a pastor. You don't want somebody standing up here only want to do good. You want somebody who has great expectations of what God can do for you. So I ask you again, what are you looking for this morning? Are you looking for a teacher? Look at John and Andrew in John 37 to 39. It says, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Jesus didn't give them the answer that they wanted. He just said, come. Jesus says to you today, come. That's why he says, what are you seeking? What do you want? You say you want healing? He says, come. You want deliverance? Come. You need restoration? Come. You're asking for things that is just too below what he wants to do for you. You want to be able to walk, he wants you to be able to run. I love the pictures that the words in the scripture paint. John the Baptist just got finished screaming it out. Here's the Lamb that we all was prophesied to many times in the Old Testament. Here's the Lamb all the prophets talked about. And you know what they did? I said that they were disciples of John. They left and they went with Jesus. They dropped John like it was hot. Now, if you don't understand that, think about your turncoat friends. When you've gone through something and there's a better deal going on, drop you like it's hot. They didn't say to John, well, we're going to take a minute and go follow Jesus and then we'll be back. They just left. As a matter of fact, nowhere back in the scriptures does it say they went back to John the Baptist. They had became disciples of Jesus, which means that when Jesus says, come, all of those things you're holding on to, you better drop it like it's hot. When they said, where are you staying? Jesus was interested in having a conversation with them. He just said, come. Sometimes we sit up here and we're like, oh God, oh Lord Jesus, tell me what you want me to do. He's not going to have a conversation with you. He's going to give you a direct order, and either you could take it, you could do it, or you're on your own. Amen? You're going to be on your own. He don't have to have a conversation with you. He'll tell you where to go and who to see. We spoke about that the other week. You want to have a conversation, a deep philosophical, theoretical conversation with Jesus. He's not having that with you. He's going to give you an order. He says, just like when we say amen, do you know what amen means? So be it. When Jesus tells you to do something, it's period. Amen. When they thought that they called Jesus the rabbi, they thought that they could ask him these questions. They thought that they could have a philosophical conversation with him. They thought that the rabbi was a teacher and a counselor who could answer all of their questions. They thought that he had all the answers. Well, Jesus does have all the answers. A rabbi doesn't. Their expectation of who he was low. Jesus just said, come and see. In verse 39, it said that they spent the whole day with him. They were looking for a teacher. They were expecting a teacher. They wasn't disappointed. How would you spend all day and all night with somebody that didn't feed you information that you wanted to hear, that didn't pique your curiosity, that didn't fill you in with something that made sense to you? Amen? Are you looking for a teacher this morning? Are you looking for somebody who can tell you, answer questions about life or death, good and evil, heaven and hell? Are you looking for somebody who give you your purpose, direction, and your meaning and your hope? If you are, Jesus is saying, well, come and see. Come and see me. Come talk to me. Amen? Maybe you're looking for a liberator, somebody to free you up because you got all of these things hanging down all over you. You got chains and you don't know what to do. Everybody's holding you down. Well, let me tell you, Simon Peter was looking for a liberator. In verse 40 to 42, it says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated to Peter. And John and Andrew spent that night soaking up the teachings. They wasn't tired, they were excited. I know a lot of people got on my case about last week. I was tired, but I was excited. I was excited because people wanted prayer. So in the midst of all of that tiredness, I was excited. When God and Jesus is in your life and he's doing things through you, you don't get tired, you get excited. God gives you the strength, supernatural strength that you never thought that you could have. Because you know that your liberator is going to free you from all of those other things that are bogging you down. So here we have Peter, and he's looking for a Messiah. Amen? It tells us about his expectation. Once again, the Messiah is an Old Testament Jewish term, and John knew that people he was writing to wouldn't understand it. So he translated the Messiah as Christ. That's great, but we need a translation as well. Because most people today think that Christ, anybody know what Christ is? Anointed one. So many people think that Christ is Jesus' last name. He's Jesus the Christ. Jesus the anointed. So if you ever hear somebody say Jesus Christ, it's Jesus the Christ. Jesus the anointed one. Amen? But back then, the kings were anointed with oil, and they were the chosen one. They were the kings and the leaders. So Peter thought that Christ had came to deliver them from the Roman Empire, that he was going to be the new king. But he was looking on a physical level and not a spiritual level. We are always looking to be liberated physically. God wants to free you spiritually. Because when your spirit is free, you are free. Indeed. Physically, you can lose your house, your job, your car. But when your spirit is free, you realize that those things can't take you down. They can be replaced. And God can put you in a situation where he gives you greater than what you had. But the reason so many people commit suicide, jump off of buildings, or lose their mind is because the physical things that they have gained over time, they see it as lost. And that was their whole identity. They don't have a spirit. They don't value their spirit because they sold their soul to something else. I pray for that young man's family that committed suicide. Aaron Hernandez, football player, New England Patriots. Come on, Patriot fans. 27 years old. He won the Super Bowl. He was about 24 years old. On top of the world one day. Below the ground now. We spoke about that spirit of suicide. All is lost. Everything that I got, I can never do anything again. I will never be nothing again. All was lost in his mind to commit suicide. The enemy works and works and works and works and works at us. You come in here to get relief because you lost your physical things. You should be seeking the Lord. What do you seek? if Mr. Hernandez had sought the Lord, they said that he had a Bible scripture on his head when he hung himself. You know, it's nice to have a Bible scripture that you recognize, but you can't just take that little one part of the Bible and say, oh yeah, I understand, because there were some other things before that that was written in the Word. Amen? Peter thought that Jesus was going to redeem them from the Romans, but he didn't do that. Peter didn't even think that they should be paying taxes to the Roman Empire. Peter just knew they were oppressed, and this man is supposed to be the Messiah. And this is what I'm looking for in this person they are calling the Messiah. They are calling the King. They were expecting him to renew the kingdom, return it back to the Jewish people. But God has a different kingdom that he wants them to be renewed in. He has a different kingdom that he wants them to be a part of. They're looking at the physical Jerusalem. They're looking at the physical Israel. They're looking at all of these things, but they're not looking at the spiritual kingdom that the Lord had came down to show them about. Amen? What kind of king was Peter expecting? What kind of Messiah was he expecting? Jesus said, come and see. And Peter did. And Jesus didn't disappoint him. He didn't come to liberate the Jews from political bondage, but he did come to liberate them from an oppressive and devastating bondage. Amen? He came to liberate them from the bondage of sin. He came to liberate them from the captivity of death, the grave, and hell. So what kind of liberator are you looking for this morning? Are you in the bondage of a lifestyle that you can't seem to overcome? Are you being held captive by habits, patterns, and addictions that you just can't break? Jesus is saying, come and see. Just come and see. He don't have to give you a guarantee. He just said, come and see. Just come and see. Give me a shot. Just come and see. Amen? Somebody came in here with something today, and Jesus is saying, just come and see. Other times, people want to have a mystery revealed to them. The next person is Philip. Philip thought that Jesus was going to reveal the mysteries of all the things that are mysterious to him. Sometimes we come to church and we say, well, I'm going to go to church so, you know, the pastor and they can, all of them can tell me about the mysteries of the Bible and what God and what Jesus is doing. We can't do that. We can't do that. Whatever he said he's going to do is in the Word. He said, whatever I say, whatever I'm going to do, it's in the Word. There is no mystery. The only thing is that he says, you don't know the hour, the time, the minute, the second that I'm going to show up. I know, but I'm not telling. That's what he says. I am God. I'm not telling you. I don't have to. But be ready when I come. He said he's going to give us signs and wonders. You look in Revelation. You look at the sign of the times. It's right there. It's right in front of you. Don't ask me, Pastor, what do you think? I think you should read the Bible. I think that you should correlate all the things that Jesus had written in the Bible about the signs. He said there will be lovers of men. Men will be lovers of each other. They got more rights than you do. He talked about the Antichrist. Listen, it ain't just, Antichrist is not just one thing. It's not just one individual. It is a society that is permeating throughout everything that we do. Because anything that the Bible says that goes against it, it's Antichrist. You looking for something, but spiritually, it's coming all around you right now. It's doing things, and you sitting here watching, saying, I'm waiting for the Antichrist. I'm waiting for the Antichrist. Just like, it's already here. I'll tell you, I think my Social Security number is part of the Antichrist. I do, because everything that I do, you'll know about. They know about it. How do you think they come up with these laws to restrict us? Because they know what your Social Security note does. They know how much money you make, how much taxes you pay. Will you buy a house? Did you get a car? Where your children are? You don't have to tell nobody nothing. They know. You get on the internet and you go looking for a tractor at Sears, and all of a sudden, as you're looking over Google or whatever you do, these ads start showing up. You go to the supermarket, they know what kind of food you buy. All of a sudden, when they give you the receipt on the back of it, 20 cents off the next time you buy Danone yogurt. You think you're keeping this all to yourself? You think nobody knows about you? It's already here. The signs of the times, they don't hit you in the face. They don't say, bleh, I'm the sign of the time. But it's there. It's right around you right now. You get a job, IRS knows how much money you make, how much taxes you pay, and how much you didn't pay. You're not hiding anything. God is telling you, you can't. The government is telling you, you can't hide from them. What do you think about the Creator Almighty, about what he sees? And we're trying to hide from him. So Philip is looking for this mysterious, somebody to tell him the mysteries. So in the scripture it says, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathan and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? What good can come from Nazareth? That was the statement. So I looked up Nazareth. When he said it, it wasn't a compliment. Nazareth wasn't nothing much. It was a village way in the hills of Galilee. So when they thought about Nazareth, they thought about people being backwards. They thought about it being in the boondocks. They thought about people being illiterate. They talked about people being backwards. They talked about people being behind the times. They talked about people who come from a dead end. They were judging. He was judging. He was prejudiced. He was not examining the evidence. He had already pre-made up in his mind what he thought. Jesus turns around and he says, let me tell you a secret. He says, I want you to know when they came to see you, you were sitting under a tree. He looks at them. And right away, he realized that this man knows. He starts saying, this man can solve a mystery if he has to. This man can solve it. He says, you are the Messiah. You are the chosen one. You are the one that we've been waiting for. Every now and then, Jesus will throw a little something out there. Amen. In our lives, he'll throw a little something out there to let you know that he's in your life. He's watching what's going on. He's taking care of you. You see, some of us has got to see some things sometimes, like Thomas. Thomas had to see, he had to see where the nails were in his hands. He had to touch him. But this is what he said to Thomas. He says, Thomas, you believe in me now because you see me. But blessed are those who believe in me, but don't see me. Blessed are those of you who receive the blessings of the Lord without having to know all the mysteries. If you're waiting to know all the mysteries, you ain't never coming to him. If you let the enemy keep filling you up with questions, and I have already said that Jesus is not going to answer it for you, you're going to be caught in the cold. Think about it. As parents, we know our children, especially the one, they keep asking questions after questions after questions. And sometimes you say, just stop asking questions and listen to what I say. The same thing. Don't let the enemy fill you up with questions. Questions are doubts. If you doubt something, you ask questions. Your children, you say, did you take out the garbage? Even though you know the garbage is right there. Did you take out the garbage? Sometimes they'll say yes. Sometimes they say, well, I was going to do it. Jesus is not going to sit up there and answer all of your questions. He told them, he says, listen, if you trust in me, you're going to see some things that you'll never get to see. You want to see me do miracles. You're going to see heaven come down on me. You're going to see heaven open up for me. This is what he told his disciples. And for those who were there, they saw heaven open up for him. They saw the angels come down for him. When he died on that cross, they saw heaven open up for him. God is speaking to us this morning, and he says, what do you come for? What is it that you seek? God knows what your future holds, and he's not going to tell you. This is no mystery to him, amen? But he knows what's in store for you. But he wants you to ask him the right question and seek the right thing, which is him. Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all things will be. We're seeking after other things and not the kingdom of heaven. So I said to you today, what are you seeking? Are you seeking the kingdom of heaven and let God bless you? Are you seeking the kingdom of heaven? Are you seeking his righteousness? Are you seeking after the only pure individual that ever lived on this earth? Are you seeking the one who made everything? Your clothes, your house, made you. Knew you when you were in your mother's womb. When you were in your mother's womb, he knew you. And all he says is, seek me first. All he says is, let me do it. We're so ready to do everything ourselves, we can't do it. We can't, but he can. So you come in here for him to take care of whatever problems and situations you have. He's bigger than that. That's the key. He is bigger than whatever it is that you think. Let us stand.